This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. 14 games are reported to not work with PS4 share play, including Call of Duty. So what's the holdup? Plus, Rockstar has removed quite a bit of content from the Steam version of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Tonight is November 9th, 2014, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Did you know that they say that too many cooks can spoil the broth? It's true. It's true. I learned that at 4 in the morning. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room that is live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, and a little bit later on, I'll be opening up the Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. And also, if you are here live, you can check in on the site. Just like Fifth Dream and Tiger Claw, they were the first two to check in. There's points. Brand new November leaderboard started 9 days ago. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, somewhere in this episode, you will be rudely interrupted by a passphrase that you can then sign on to the site and get the exact same amount of points. So this show, not sure exactly how the length of the show is going to be. It may go a little bit longer depending on the callers and depending on other factors, because Rob from Orange Lounge Radio, he did go to BlizzCon this weekend down in Anaheim. He did not go see Metallica, but he is his plane landed. I was going to do like this flight tracker on the air, and then his plane lands like 30 minutes ago. So he's already probably by now gotten his luggage, and he's probably in the car, I think, with Jamie, rushing to Studio N7 to be able to do Orange Lounge Radio tonight. I don't know if we're going to be able to do a call with them or not, but there is going to be an Orange Lounge Radio tonight, maybe with special guests, maybe not. We don't know yet, but they do, you know, Loki did the show roll and everything, so they're all prepared for tonight. So there is going to be an OLR tonight. When it's going to start, we don't know. It all depends on traffic. And you never know. Maybe tonight's FU segment will be about the bad drivers getting from Sacramento Airport to Studio N7. At BlizzCon, they did announce a new IP for the first time in, forever. And it's not Half-Life 3. It's called Overwatch, which is their version of Team Fortress 2, is kind of how it looks. It's going to go into like alpha next year sometime and stuff. And this is pretty much what Titan became. It's what Titan turned into. But it's a whole new IP. It's got just only a couple characters, which is kind of the way Warcraft started back in the back when digital pterodactyls flew overhead in 8-bit glory, and we were playing over modems, 2400 baud modems. Maybe we were by 9600 by then when Warcraft 1 came out. And then it's going to grow from there. He's played it, and he will talk all about it on OLR tonight. They did make a reference to Lost Vikings going into Heroes of the Storm, but no mention yet of Rock and Roll Racing coming into. Put Rock and Roll Racing somehow in World of Warcraft. Sure, why not? Have racers racing to All those rock and roll hits from the Super Nintendo version, preferably still in 16-bit music form. That would be great. But where's my Rock and Roll Racing revival? I mean, you're bringing in Lost Vikings, but bring in your best game, Blizzard. Rock and Roll Racing was your best game ever. Dungeon Buster says, Overwatch looks like a sci-fi version of Team Fortress 2, which isn't a bad thing. I wonder if it'll also have hats. And one thing that was kind of funny is I was following somebody else, Nicole, who is with Ladies of Leap podcast, and she also runs the Dragon Con podcasting track. She was also at BlizzCon. I don't know if Rob ran into her, but she posted pictures of Overwatch cosplay at BlizzCon, and we're like, that was pretty quick. So I don't know if like people like immediately just started making cosplay like right after the announcement, or if those were Blizzard employees or cosplayers that were tipped off. I'm thinking it was Blizzard employees or someone who was tipped off about Overwatch so they could make those costumes. But I thought that was interesting. One other thing I kind of want to point bring up in terms of upcoming events here in the Atlanta area, if you are into me making you drink by talking about things, there is going to be a – I think this is the third, but I'm going to call it the second. The second Atlanta virtual reality meetup. This is I went to the first one and showed Darknet there. I don't know if I'm going to be showing anything. I do have a dev kit, too. I'm going to be bringing it. I don't know if I'm going to be showing anything or if we're going to be showing it on their demo computers, but it's going to be Thursday, November 20th at the Dave and Buster's up in Marietta. There's two Dave and Buster's in Atlanta, which is why I have to mention which one it is. But it's going to be Thursday, November 20th. There's a Facebook event page and a meetup page. You can search for Atlanta Virtual Reality Meetup or ATLVR Meetup and get information there. You can sign up there. And I think there's like even like coupons for games, the ticket spitting games at Dave and Buster's and things. And they're very excited to have us. So I'll be there. They took the advice from my last podcast because the guy that runs it did listen to the podcast where I talked about it. And he took all that advice to heart, and they are much more prepared. It's going to be a wonderful event. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you want to see some DevKit 2s and DevKit 1s and see what some local developers are doing, feel free to come out to Dave & Buster's on Thursday, November 20th, and we can drink together. Going back to BlizzCon, Tiger Claw says, Overwatch is a breath of fresh air for Blizzard. All they've done is real-time strategies, MMOs, and action RPGs, and racing games. They did a racing game, Tiger Claw. He says, now Blizzard is getting into the first-person shooter space. They're also doing a MOBA. So Blizzard's doing a lot of different things. It's like, you know, okay, they haven't done a sports game yet, but then again, they're doing esports, right? SJ100 Matt says he's actually been to that Dave & Buster's like in 1995. I was there too. Probably not the same night as SJ100 Matt. So one game that I did talk about that I did play this week that I can talk about that not many people can, it's a racing game, and it's The Crew. And this is a game upcoming from Ubisoft, which has actually had been in the news a little bit recently because they've had a couple games, like their PC versions mysteriously disappeared from Steam, and then this morning they're back on Steam, and there's something going on between Ubisoft and Valve. Because they want people to use Uplay instead of Steam. I don't know. Probably analogous to the EA Valve thing where Valve requires all the DLC to be bought on Steam where EA wants it all on Arch. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about the game and not about that politics crap. So the closed beta for consoles was this weekend. I think it's still going on until tomorrow morning. I had actually been invited to the original closed beta and my code didn't work and then I went out of the country for a week. So I didn't get to play it then, but my same code worked for the beta that started this weekend. And The Crew is basically it's the new style of racer where you know you're working with your friends to complete the challenges and complete the missions, which would be great if I had friends that played it, but I didn't. It's kind of like Forza Horizon 2 in the sense that it's an arcade racer. It's not really a simulation racer, although they have real cars in there, and you can do all the upgrades and all that stuff, and then paint them and things like that. But you're following a very distinct story that is more fleshed out than the Forza Horizon series, where you know you're playing as somebody who was framed for murder of like your own brother or something, and then you know you get sprung out of jail by the FBI. And you have to race to take down the criminal gang that showed up in the 5 years that you were in prison. So that's basically the story of it. And it's kind of interesting because its multiplayer is most like Destiny. The multiplayer in The Crew is you're in this open world and then you go from mission to mission. Well, in that open world, you're connected to other people in that open world, much in the same way of Destiny. So it's not a true MMO, but it is, you know, you're connected to other people that are in the same area. And that means that, you know, they can mess with you and stuff. And I did actually have a guy that, you know, like slammed into me as I was about to check the menu or something, so I just kind of sat on the side of the road, and he kind of just sat there waiting for me to come out so he could slam into me again. Then I fast-traveled somewhere else. So I don't know what it is with me getting, like, the people that decide they're going to pick on me and then just hang around and wait for me to do something. It's an open-world racer. You can actually drive around all of the U.S., along predefined roads, and they have a whole bunch of cities in the U.S. that you can go to, not Atlanta, but they do have Chattanooga, like that's the, which is the city I actually work in. My office is in Chattanooga. So they have Chattanooga, and it's not anything like the real Chattanooga. There's no aquarium or anything. But you can drive around, and you don't have to follow the story and do those. But you do have to, you know, to unlock more things, you do have to go through the story missions. And you can do these story missions with friends. And that's kind of mitigates one of the issues that I have with it, is that if you do have friends, as long as one of your friends that's in your crew, which you can create a crew from people, just random people on the street, not necessarily from your friends list. But if somebody from your crew beats the mission, then everybody beats the mission. And you just don't get as much payout, which is going to be kind of needed because the game is really difficult for people who are not very good at racing. There is no difficulty settings like most Ubisoft games, you know, which is fine. A lot of people probably find the game too easy, which is fine. I'm not that adept, let's say. And there are multiple different game modes. It's not just racing, but it is also, you know, you have to catch up with someone and hit them and take them out. So it's like Burnout in that sense. And I had to restart that mission like 20 times. To be able to do it. And actually, that was the same mission that was in the E3 demo, and I couldn't beat it at E3 either. And that's with the Ubisoft rep standing right next to me, watching me and trying to give me pointers. Then there was a race that was a dirt race, which has you know, shortcuts, and they're like, you have to use the shortcuts to win, because all the other cars are faster than you. So I had to restart that like 15 times. And then the next mission was Escape from the Cops, which is why I don't play Grand Theft Auto, because I'm terrible at escaping from the cops. 10 straight times I got like stopped and got arrested like 8 seconds into the mission. And that was the point when I realized this game's not going to be for me. And which is sad, because I was really looking forward to it. I was really looking forward to the concepts. I really liked the concept of it. But, you know, and those were missions 3, 4, and 5 of, you know, and there's a whole bunch of missions in the game. And I got stopped at that point. So it's obviously, it's going to be a great game for a lot of people, just not me. And it's because the difficulty is just way too high for someone who's probably not as adept. And I'm not the type of person to like repetition. I don't like redoing things 20 times just to get it, just to get past the area. A lot of people are like that. A lot of people like to master games, and spend the time to really master it and you know, be the best at them, and that's great. And this game is going to be wonderful for those people. And somebody was asking me that, you know, is this something that might be quote-unquote fixed when the game actually comes out for real in a couple weeks? This is not what they were beta testing. They were beta testing the multiplayer servers and stuff, which is probably still going to crash on day one. But they're not testing the difficulty or the actual gameplay. This is pretty much set in stone, and this was a deliberate design decision on their part, which is perfectly fine. You know, I'm not saying that all games need to cater to people who suck. There should be games out there that cater to people who are much better at games than I am, and this is one of them, and go have fun with this game. I'll go back to Forza Horizon 2, where there's a difficulty slider, and I can actually enjoy myself instead of getting frustrated. Dungeon Bus says there was a comment on Reddit a while back about someone in the same boat. They love what the game is trying to do, but the actual racing portions are too difficult for them. And that's, I think, where the multiplayer can come in, because if you're playing multiplayer and you go into the mission, anybody in your crew, if anybody in your crew defeats the mission where it's either, you know, one person in your crew makes first place in the mission where you have to get first place to continue, then you complete the mission. So that is, I think, where they mitigate the difficulty, where, you know, you have to have a friend who's really good at the stuff. And he can go in, and you'll still get, you just won't get as much points and XP and money, in-game money, as the person in first. But that's, I think, where they mitigate the multiplayer, or mitigate the difficulty, is through the multiplayer, which is really neat what they're trying to do. Maybe that would be the answer, but I don't know if I'm going to have anybody that is going to play the crew at the same time that I am, because I haven't been able to play Destiny with many people, because by now everybody's moved on from Destiny, and I'm still like at level 18. Still on Venus. I just don't know if it's going to be worth me spending $60 on it. The only other complaint that I had about it is specifics to the console version. And it's the fact that I guess the console version and the PC version are pretty much the same, which means that on console it's running at 1080p and it's running and has all the text as if you were looking at a PC monitor at 1080p, which is great on PC if I'm sitting on my PC monitor. Unfortunately, the text is extremely small if you're sitting 10 feet away on a couch looking at your 58-inch TV. I could not read a lot of the text that was in the game sitting at my normal length away from the TV because it's a PC resolution game. They did not make the text any bigger, and there is no slider in the game to make the text bigger. So I think that, you know, I kind of wish that – and I'm sure that the reason this hasn't been caught in QA is most QA testers, even if they're playing the console version, is playing on a monitor right at their desk. They're not playing 10 feet back in a normal living room setup. So they probably also have really good eyesight, where even with my glasses, I'm still, you know, sometimes struggle to see small text far away. So that's a thing that I kind of wish more designers looked at. And a lot of companies have done it right. Like, I know Diablo 3 on consoles, I can read all the text just fine because they made it bigger. But if they had ported just the PC version over, then it wouldn't have. Then it's not as good. Final Fantasy XIV, when they did the PS4 beta of Final Fantasy XIV, the text was very small, and you couldn't read it. And by the time it released, they made all the text readable, so they actually fixed it in that. So the crew could still really fix it, but it's so ingrained, the UI is everywhere, and I couldn't see what anything was saying because I was too. I felt like I needed to sit. You know, get a chair in front of my couch and sit, you know, about 4 feet closer to the TV to be able to see anything. And I shouldn't have to do that for a console game. SJ Wonder Man says, what people need to do is get the game when it comes out, play it, and call it into my show to tell me now that I was right or wrong. So let's get into some of the news that's going on this week. You can call in if you've also played the crew beta and you got farther than the fifth mission, which is as far as I got. You can call in and talk about that or tell me why I'm wrong before you get it. And Dungeon Buster says they'll just patch it later. GameSpot reports that Sony at one time promised that SharePlay would be supported for all PS4 games. The company has since clarified that developers can disable the feature at will, which I actually reported on last week because it was kind of obvious that they could. This came about because SharePlay launched and then Call of Duty Advanced Warfare came out. And you couldn't SharePlay it. Activision has said that its engineers didn't have access to SharePlay before it released, so the company was unable to evaluate to see how it will impact the experience across all modes of play. Looking ahead, Activision did not rule out allowing SharePlay for games such as Advanced Warfare and Ghosts in the future. So basically, Activision is saying, even though this is an OS feature, it doesn't affect the game at all. It's all done behind the scenes of the OS. They couldn't adequately... test it out. And I think what that translates to is they couldn't see if somebody could play the entire story of Advanced Warfare without buying the game. Because, you know, they're probably okay with, you know, people watching a Twitch stream of it somewhat because they're not playing and experiencing the game. But if they can fully experience the single player of Advanced Warfare without paying $60 for it, that's probably where they had the problem with it. According to Eurogamer, and this is some of these titles are probably not the same in the U.S. I actually read some comments on the internet that said that this list was not correct in the U.S. So this is Eurogamer in the U.K. There are 14 games that actually block PlayStation 4 SharePlay. They are Another World, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty Ghosts, Child of Light, Fez, Hotline Miami, Metro Redux, Minecraft, Pixel Junk Shooter Ultimate, Rayman Legends, SteamWorld Dig, Thief, Tomb Raider, and Wolfenstein The New Order. And this GameSpot article goes on to say, since SharePlay is such a new feature, it's possible that publishers are still coming to grips with how to best go about implementing it for their games. As Eurogamer points out, Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor was blocked from SharePlay before the 2.01 update, but it now does support the service. It's also possible that publishers do not want guests to experience their games with worse visuals and frame rate and are blocking SharePlay for that reason. So developers can turn it on and off at will. There are still blocked scenes that they can claim that, you know, just like they can for the Twitch broadcast. stuff like that, and recording. You can't record some scenes. You can't use the share button to record video of certain scenes if they decide you shouldn't. So it's going to be interesting to see which developers support SharePlay and which don't. And it could be a publisher decision as well. Because I actually probably would have said, you know, hey, maybe I should, you know, try the single player of Advanced Warfare and see how it is on the Bobby Blackwolf difficulty, which is the rookie casual recruit difficulty or whatever. And you know, if I like it, maybe I'll buy it. But no, they don't want to do that. But I could still go to Redbox and rent it and do the same thing. So, but it's going to be interesting. And it's kind of interesting that, like, Minecraft doesn't work with, or Fez. You know, a game like Fez, you know, because it's got some of the harder puzzle things, that would really benefit from using SharePlay, but I guess they don't want people to experience it without buying it. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, dead. Another news story that I want to talk about, and this is about the perils of digital distribution, and this is kind of sad to see that this has happened in this way, because this is not usually the way this has happened. PC Gamer reports that 10 years after its release, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas has been updated on Steam. Ordinarily, this would be good news, suggesting the changes had been made to make accommodations for new operating systems or hardware, but this new version of San Andreas takes far more away from the game than it adds. While it now boasts native support for the Xbox 360 controller, 17 songs have been removed from Rockstar's open-world crime-em-up, along with a few of the bigger resolution options, 1080p included. And also, saves from the old version will no longer work. So if you have San Andreas installed and you haven't accepted the update yet, don't. This isn't the first time that Rockstar has removed songs from the Steam version of one of their games. A couple years ago, they did the same thing with Vice City, temporarily taking the game off Steam in order to take out several tracks. Licensing issues were the cause then, too, but Rockstar went about it in a slightly different way. People who bought the game before the temporary removal were allowed to keep the offending songs, and that does not appear to be the case here. So as this is a PC game we're talking about, an unofficial patch has already been released that appears to fix some of the nonsense introduced by the official one. The missing songs, meanwhile, can be added back with the custom music stations. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, this is one of those, you know, you paid for the game. If you bought the game on Steam when it was full price, and so your money went to the licensing for certain songs. This is my opinion on this. If you bought the game at, you know, I don't know if it was ever $60 on Steam. It might have been 40, but let's assume $50, okay? I don't know if that's true. But let's say you paid $50 on Steam when it came out on Steam for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. You paid, as a part of that $50, that went towards the licensing fees for all the songs in the game. You already paid that licensing fee for that song to exist in your game. That was a part of the price. They can't take that away from you because you already paid for that song. You've paid the licensing fee for that song, and so they can't come back and say, oh, no, you don't have that song anymore. You already paid for it. It's not like this is a subscription service. You did not pay for a subscription to San Andreas. You paid for the game, the product. And I'm not sure if that EULA says, oh, we can remove songs at any time. I'm not sure if that's in there. Now, granted, I didn't read it. You probably didn't read it. Nobody probably read it, except for the lawyers at Rockstar. But, you know, I don't... That's one of the downsides of digital distribution. I like digital distribution. I love Steam. I love not having to worry about CD keys anymore or discs or anything like that. You know, I like a lot of... I've warmed up to digital distribution a whole lot. But this type of stuff, it gives me pause. Because even Harmonix, when they lose the licensing for songs, they don't delete the songs out of your Rock Band library. You just can't buy them anymore. And even in the case of Rock Band, you can still re-download them. You just can't buy them anymore. But this is actually taking stuff out. And there are other things that it also takes out, like the resolutions and stuff. So, you know, obviously those can get patched back in. But you've already paid for the licensing fees. I can understand, you know, Vice City, you know, if they had to lose the licensing, then I understood it with Vice City, you know, where they said, okay, if you already bought it, you've already paid the licensing fee, so you get to keep them, but new people, you can't have them. That I'm okay with, because I understand that the music licensing industry is really difficult to work with. I'm under no illusions of that. But doing it this way, where even the people who've already paid for the licenses can't use it anymore, that's a little crappy. And Vice City is an older game, so it has an older EULA. And so the licensing terms were older, and if they were allowed to do it under those older terms, they should be able to do it with the newer terms, even though San Andreas is over 10 years old now. And Tiger Claw says, I bet it was written somewhere in the EULA for the PC version that they can take stuff out whenever they want. And they probably did. It's probably in there. But no, none of us read it. And it doesn't make it right. So the songs that were removed, and what you can do is you can make a custom music station and add all these back in. Playback FM, Critical Beatdown, KDST, Running Down a Dream, and Woman to Woman. On Bounce FM, You Dropped a Bomb on Me, Yum Yum, and Running Away. On Radio Los Santos, I Don't Give an F, which I'm not going to say the full name, and Express Yourself. Radio X, Killing in the Name of, and Hellraiser. KJA West, Ring My Bell, and Don't Let It Go to Your Head. And on Master Sounds 98.3, Express Yourself, Rock Creek Park, Grunt, Soul Power 74, and The Payback. Those are the songs that were removed, so you'll have to find them and add them back in via custom soundtracks, get them back, and then you'll have to download the official unofficial patch to get the resolutions back up. You'll have to start over from scratch because you can't use your original save game either. They wiped that out, so hope you didn't level CJ up too much because you can't use that anymore. Drunk Man, which is Breakman Drunk, saying, taking away what you've already paid for, does this agreement come with lube? Probably. It is Rockstar. I wonder if they sent that along with every version. Digitally, of course. They send you the 3D printer mock-up, and so you can print out. You can at least print out the packaging for the lube, probably not the lube itself. Dungeon Buster says it would probably require too much effort to distinguish those who bought San Andreas before and after licenses ran out, so they went with the all-or-nothing option. And ActDev says, I mean, taking away stuff you already paid for and giving you back a gimped version of the game is not cool. What they also probably did is, last week they released a HD remaster of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on the Xbox 360 Marketplace for like $3.74 or something like that. But they took off the Xbox Originals version. And the new remastered version had the less songs and the new licensing terms. And I think what they're doing is they're bringing the PC version in line with the Xbox 360 version. And that's why it's they're making all these changes. And I've heard that it's not I've heard that it really doesn't hold up all that well from most people. I know that other people think that it holds up great. It is obviously a huge world and everything, but it's I considered getting it, the $3 version, but and then I realized I still have the PS2 version, and I very rarely play it there. Buchigawa says, that's the worst part. Killing the save files is a lot of progress for some people. Days and weeks of game time lost. SJ WonderMat says, I'll be expecting them to take my PS2 copy of San Andreas and replace it with an updated version. Well, they already had to do that once. Because of Hot Coffee, where they updated the PS2 version and had to give you a new disc. Dungeon Buster also says the 360 version is a port of the mobile version. So we're not even making a port of the PlayStation 2 version or the Xbox version. We're making a port of the mobile version to work on console. Rockstar must have put their like F team on this or something. F team for FU. Because that's what they're saying. But hey, Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out on PS4 and Xbox One later this month. And you can have cats in the game. I still can't evade the cops, so I'm not sure if I'm going to get it. I would get it on PS4 if I did. I'm not sure, but I still can't avoid the cops really well. And I didn't even get far in the 360 version, so I don't know. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to start taking your calls, and hopefully enough of you will call in, because I have not gotten any kind of update from Rob about his progress towards Studio N7, about when OLR will be starting tonight. I just checked my phone to see if he texted me again. He has not. Hopefully they're still driving safe. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll come back and hopefully take your calls and fill some time until we can hear all about BlizzCon and other things from OLR. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Basta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
And you're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
They actually floated questions about like a Mass Effect 4 or something. I don't know. There's something Mass Effect, so I didn't pay attention to it, but I was going to play the bumper anyway. If you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to be Commander Shepard to leave a bumper. All you have to do is send an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance. Check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of audiobooks there. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf to make any of them your free one. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. You can talk about BlizzCon, which was this weekend. Or you could talk, if you've played The Crew and you had a much different experience than I did, that's fine. If you've tried some of these games that I listed that had SharePlay blocked and they worked for you, let me know. Because I've heard like Rayman Legends apparently does work. And Metro Redux, I've heard, does work. But you never know. That list was compiled by Eurogamer, so it's UK centric. You can let me know, or if you've used SharePlay more in the past week, what uses have you found for it? So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's the one and only Ronma. What's going on, Bobby?
Ronma, what's up, man?
Not much. I'm actually playing around with Windows 10 on my new laptop, but that's a story for another time.
All right.
Forgive me for catching in late because I was out prepping dinner, but did you hear about the latest thing ShameStop has done?
No.
Well, there was an article posted that a 10-year-old girl went to a Smash Brothers Wii U event at a GameStop on the West Coast and beat a number of the top-tier players out there.
Okay.
Comes to find out that that never really happened. It was a hoax by GameStop.
Okay, why would they hoax about that?
I would assume they're doing it to drum up sales, to get people hyped to come to GameStop to reserve Smash Brothers for Wii U.
Okay, so I guess it's too big to show that, hey, anybody can win in Smash Brothers, so you should buy this game.
Yeah, but on the same token, they're saying like this newbie 10-year-old is beating like the best players out there, and you find out this was all staged. I think that was kind of wrong in a way. I mean, I understand what they're trying to get at, but, you know, you didn't really have to pull a stunt like that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it depends. I mean, I'd have to see, like, how they, you know, showed it or something, if there was, like, any fine print that you're not, but even then, even with this fine print, you know, that's not cool.
And you're right. And the thing is, I heard about it through a couple of friends, and they're kind of upset. It kind of perpetuates the stereotype that girls aren't gamers, in a way.
Yeah, I don't have that much to say on it. I mean, because, like I said, it all depends on, you know, in terms of is it legal or not.
True.
It's all in terms of how they did the fine print, because, you know, I see TV commercials where cars fly. And they always have, and they have the fine print at the bottom, cars don't actually fly, duh. Like, there was actually a commercial, and that's exactly what they put in there. You know, so it really depends on how they phrased it.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing for them, I guess, also is, in the nature of gaming journalism these days, they don't necessarily include those fine print things. They just report on things.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, I understand why they're doing it as a publicity stunt, but at the same time, you're kind of pissed off some of your supporters who like to buy from you because of something like this.
Yeah.
So, you know.
At least the game is not exclusive to them.
Absolutely. Well, probably some of the amiibos will be, but
yeah,
that'll be one place I won't be buying my copy from if I do decide to pick up a copy and a console.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, that's I'm not surprised. I know I should be, but I'm not.
It's kind of gotten to that point where nothing surprises anybody nowadays.
Yeah. So what else was on your mind?
Oh no, that's it. I just wanted to kind of talk about that real quick. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah, I wish I was surprised by it, but nothing surprises me about them anymore.
I miss it when it was Funko Land.
I do too.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Or mine was an electronics boutique.
Mine was a Funko Land, and then when a friend of mine gave me his old Super Nintendo and a stack of games, mm-hmm. all of the games were from Funko Land. They had the original green Super NES sleeves that they were in, so I'm just like, memories of a good time from the past.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we had in the mall back like 15 years ago that I went to, we actually had a Software Etc. on the top level and an electronics boutique on the bottom level.
I knew of a mall that was just like that.
Yeah, and then the Software Etc. finally like went shut down and became the electronics, and the electronics boutique was still there, and now that is actually the Evil G in that mall. The old Software Etc. turned into like a makeup store, and that was like the weirdest thing for me.
Ooh. Yeah. Where I used to grow up at, there was a shopping center that had a Software Etc. I got a couple of friends who still live out there. If I'm not mistaken, inside it's a complete Evil G, but the giant Software Etc. logo is still on the outside of the mall.
Yeah, that's because they couldn't spend the money to change it over.
Yeah, but it's been like, what, almost, what, 10 years?
Yeah, but money. It's the economy is bad, Ranma.
True. The economy is bad unless you're upper management for Evil G, which means the economy is good for you.
Yes, of course. But yes. You know, but if they want that change, more people need to go in and reserve and subscribe.
They won't be getting any of my money anytime soon.
I understand that.
Yes.
All right. Anime Jam Session is Tuesday nights. Thanks so much, Rama.
Thank you. No problem. Take care, bro.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. There is no fine print needed for this show. These are all real callers. And our callers are better than the top Smash players. I'm just going to say that right now, and that is my opinion. If you think I'm wrong, call in. But I think that our callers are better callers than the top Smash players would be out on the West Coast. Halo Fanboy Man says, I buy from the Evil G because I can walk there in 5 minutes. And ActDef says, I shop Amazon nowadays. I go digital, which is really what I should do. I stop Best Buy still, and I know there are people that have issues with Best Buy. But I usually do Best Buy unless it's like something that I can't find, and then I'll get it from Amazon. But usually I'll go in, and I can walk into Best Buy on the day of and usually pick it up. Now, the problem with me is that I have two Best Buys near me, and the one closer to me is a smaller city store. And you might not get something. Like, I remember trying to get Fantasia on release day, and they didn't get any copies at that store. But the one by the mall, which was two exits down, it's like a whole 10 minutes further away drive. That one actually had like two copies of Fantasia. We do have another call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Eric RPG.
Eric RPG, what's up, man?
What's up?
Nothing
I'm
much.
Just calling to say what I've been playing this week.
All right.
Played a little bit of Fantasy Life.
Okay. Yeah, tell me more about this, because Kaijudo was on last week and had high praise for it.
And he had a couple things wrong, like the fact that Studio Ghibli was responsible for the animation. I don't think they are. I'm pretty sure it's Level 5's animation studio.
Okay.
But Level 5 made the game, too, mm-hmm. and he said Intelligent Systems was the one that made Animal Crossing.
No, I think he was. Yeah, I think he was saying it was
similar.
Like, it's similar.
It has a lot more in common with Rune Factory and Harvest Moon, though.
Okay.
You can basically do whatever you want, but there is a storyline, so you do have to fight occasionally. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I didn't like about the game is like, your classes have like certain. Tasks you gotta complete in order to rank them up, in order to get different skills. Mm-hmm. But you can't just you can do these requirements, but you have to report to your master, and that requires changing your job. And there's no quick way to do that. You have to always go back to the guild mm-hmm. to change your class, and that's annoying.
Okay, yeah, because I saw that you could change you could change your class, and in my head, you know, because I've been playing Final Fantasy 14, that's like a button press. And you mm-hmm. change your class, and you're saying that this isn't like that.
Nah,
that's sad.
That's bad. But anyways, other than that, I been playing another game for review on I haven't decided, actually, because I got it on Namco Bandai's PR list, so I'm free to submit it to whoever. Mm-hmm. But I've been playing on the PS TV, mm-hmm. PlayStation TV, and I'm playing Tailed Hearts R there. And it's pretty nice. The only thing I don't like is the fact that in order to possibly record footage, I'm going to have to get HDCP stripper or wait until they do a firmware update.
Yeah.
Because that protection's there because of streaming services.
So this game, it works on the PlayStation TV, I guess, because it doesn't use any of the touchscreens?
Well, it's more than that, because the compatibility is weird. It's even games that don't have touchscreen compatibility, like PSP games and PS1 classics, mm-hmm. may not work on it. So you have to look up their compatibility list, and you have to wait for future updates. But this game was specifically made with it in mind, because on the box it says PlayStation TV compatible.
Okay. So that makes sense. I mean, but yeah, I mean,
and unlike that old PSP adapter that you could use with uh-huh. your TV, it's actually a full screen, so that's nice.
That's cool.
Because that thing was tiny. It looked ugly.
So how was the game?
The game's all right, mm-hmm. but it's definitely one, a B-Team Tales game.
Right.
It's nothing like the original DS version, too, which I'd rather play, honestly.
All right, so you wouldn't really recommend it?
It's not that I wouldn't recommend it, it's just that it's a lesser version of the game in many aspects, but it's a better version in other aspects.
All right.
It's worth checking out for the differences, I think.
So where can people find your full review?
Like I said, I haven't really decided yet, but okay. I'm probably going to write it for GameTactics.com.
Okay. You know, we post reviews at Vogue.
Mm.
So you can let me know.
Okay.
We could talk later. We don't have to do it on the air. Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Mm. Bye.
So, Rob actually did make it to his house, during the music break. So, that means that we can talk to him. Coming up next, here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, fresh from BlizzCon, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much longer than we do. They're going to have a lot of stuff about BlizzCon. We're going to ask Rob a little bit about it, and he can go into it. And about the glorious, glorious return of rock and roll racing. I'm so excited about this. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing good. So tell me all about the Rock and Roll Racing remake.
It isn't happening.
What?
Sorry to say. Hey, you know what, though? There was a throwback to a classic Blizzard franchise, so you got to at least hand that to Blizzard, because the Lost Vikings are coming to Heroes of the Storm as a playable hero that splits into three. So, at least the classic Blizzard's getting a little love.
Yeah. So this is a good first step. And then we just put, maybe in Heroes of the Storm, now we can have cars.
Anything's possible. You never know what might happen. Uh-huh. Even though Blizzard now has an all-new franchise to draw things from, but... anything's possible.
So we can put Rock and Roll Racing in that new franchise?
Perhaps.
Why not?
Why not?
I want the Lost Vikings to come back.
No, you just missed it. They're coming to Heroes of the Storm. They were going to be playable
characters. No, I just want a Lost Vikings
game. Oh, you
game.
Want the game? You want the actual game.
Yeah, Rob.
Fair enough.
Other than being able to kill them as the Horde, that was pretty fun.
Or here, I got it. World of Warcraft, new mounts, Rock and Roll Racing, where they're the race cars playing the rock music. Driving through.
I have no idea how that fits into the lore of WoW, but hey, if they can do those motorcycles, you know what?
Exactly.
Motorcycles are the best things, other than being able to turn into a dragon.
So tell me about Overwatch. You actually played it. It looks like Team Fortress 2.
I did, and it is Team Fortress 2 in many ways. Blizzard obviously is going to go out of their way to distinguish the game from Team Fortress 2, and there is differences, and a lot of that comes down to the characterization. I mean, you probably noticed in the trailer, in their Pixar style trailer, which was a pretty astounding achievement. I mean, the minute that came up, that's when I was like, my jaw hit the floor, because you might remember on this week's Horde House, I said, tinfoil hat time, what if Titan wasn't really canceled after all? And when I saw that Pixar style trailer, I was like, oh my bleeped word for Bobby's show, this is Titan that we're watching right now, because there's no way this was whipped up in a year like Hearthstone, like Heroes of the Storm, has been growing over the past couple years. This is Titan, what we're looking at and what it's become. But anyway, the characters in the game are very, very rich. You know, not only are they a really diverse bunch, but they're diverse not just in, you know, shapes and sizes and colors and all that, but they're very diverse in what they do. Whereas, you know, I think Team Fortress 2 very much has, you know, all their tropes. And I'm not dogging Team Fortress 2 at all. That's a freaking fantastic game. But, you know, it's kind of neat to see, well, here's how Blizzard might make a Team Fortress 3. But this certainly isn't Blizzard's first time at the rodeo, taking an existing idea and making it their own. And for lack of a better term, dumbing it down, so to speak, for newer players. Uh-huh. They've done this with Heroes of the Storm and MOBAs. They've done this with trading card games and Hearthstone. Heck, Warcraft was not the first RTS game in the world. But
in World of Warcraft is just a dumbed down EverQuest.
It is. It really is. So this is Blizzard's thing, is taking a good idea and really kind of putting their own spin on it and making it accessible. And you know, there's all those people at the Cult of Blizzard, and I say that affectionately, but sometimes I wonder, Blizzard fans can be a bit of a cult sometimes, I mean that in the most loving way, that will try Overwatch even though they hate FPSs. And, you know, with good reason. It's a good go. The first time I played it, I wasn't totally feeling it, but I think I didn't really understand the characters I was playing. The tutorial, you know, I understand that for BlizzCon, they really just kind of want to throw you right into it, but I would have appreciated a little more, like, here's what you really do and all this stuff. So the first time I played it, I didn't really like the characters I was playing. But the second time I played it, I played a character named Mercy, which is very similar to the medic in Team Fortress 2, complete with the medic gun, except she can medic or she can buff. She has, like, two rays that she fires, and there's a button that you use to fly, yes, fly, to whatever person you have targeted, which adds a very interesting mechanic into things. So that was really cool.
So BlizzCon in general, this is your first BlizzCon.
Was.
But you did the Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest.
Did.
And you've done other things. So tell me about BlizzCon in general.
Yeah, like at compared to FanFest, or just
in general and compared to FanFest? And
I found BlizzCon to be extraordinarily well-organized, considering how many people run through there. You know, it's a huge space. I mean, it's the entire Anaheim Convention Center and now the arena next door where they do all the StarCraft II competitions, which were nuts. I mean, it was a packed house that last day. It still blows my mind just how popular these games are. And BlizzCon, you know, you can watch Hearthstone finals, and there's a lot of competition that's going on at BlizzCon. But, you know, they have vendor booths as well, which is something FanFest didn't really have, you know, because it was a much smaller space. But they have, you know, basically vendor booths, computer sellers, you know, the typical people you see. It's kind of funny. I ran into people from DragonCon were there at BlizzCon, yeah, including Nicole, the gal.
Okay, I was wondering if you'd run into her, because she posted a picture of, like, Overwatch cosplay.
I didn't run into her, but I know she was there, because yeah. We debated Overwatch a little bit, but I did run into the gal from Doghouse Systems and the Elite podcast, so I did run into her, and Alpha Geek Radio was streaming the World of Podcast events, just like they do the pod track, so that blew my mind when I saw that guy up there. I was like, wait a minute, you travel everywhere. So that was really cool. And by the way, big props. I got to get that out to the World of Podcast events. It was fantastic. But anyway, BlizzCon, big, big community love. And that's the thing that BlizzCon and FanFest had in common for me, was just great communities. I mean, they're different communities, of course, but just it's really about the people. And I think it wouldn't necessarily matter to many people if BlizzCon hadn't have showed a new IP this year. I mean, it might have ended up being the worst BlizzCon ever if they didn't have that type of news to drop on everybody. But I still think this is the yearly, you know, the yearly trek that many guild members take to meet each other in real life and hang out. And I think that's really what carries this convention. And very, very similar to FanFest.
Now, there's also a movie coming out.
Pretty lame.
Sorry, you both thought at the same time. Sorry. Let me answer Loki's question first because I heard him. Does Warlords of Draenor still look pretty lame? Lame is a harsh word.
I'm sorry, not lame, but like not really enticing. Like, say, me, I've never played World of Warcraft.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be something like, oh, I got to play it now.
Let me put it this way. I was not convinced I needed to come back to World of Warcraft from the convention. Now, granted, the focus wasn't on World of Warcraft. They actually talked about it very little. I mean, yes, they threw a party for the 10th anniversary, but Draenor's out this week. You know, there's not a lot left to say about it. But I did feel motivated to go back and check out Heroes and check out Hearthstone. So I got a little bit of the Blizzard Kool-Aid. But sorry, Bobby, what was your question?
Mine was asking about the movie.
Oh, yes. On the third floor, they did show a teaser for the movie, and it was very – it's not going to leak to the internet. I mean, they had people – they had multiple guards walking around, pacing around, making sure nobody had their phones to tape it. So if it leaks, somebody did a really, really gutsy thing in doing that. But I will say I did see the teaser. I believe it's a teaser. They said it was extended Comic-Con footage, but I'm sorry. It looked like a teaser to me. It had the titles. It had the licensed – Dead Can Dance track that played in the back and everything. It looked like a teaser to me. And I will tell you, the visual effects stunned me. My jaw hit the floor when I saw the Night Elves. I was like, wow.
Have they talked about when that's going to debut? Is that going to be on whatever the next big Warner, you know?
They haven't, but it looks ready to go. I would guess, if I were a betting man, I would say whatever the big Warner holiday film is. Probably holiday, Christmas. Mm-hmm. I would expect to see that teaser out there because the movie is March of 2016. And then we got to see a real quick – it wasn't in the teaser because they said the visual effects weren't finished in the teaser, which blew my mind. And then we actually got to see a completed – just a short section of an orc showing emotion. We believe this scene – we had to speculate. We believe this scene is the birth of Thrall for those that know Warcraft lore. You got to see Durotan kind of showing emotion, like getting sad. It was so weird because it's like an orc. But, I don't want to make it sound cheesy, like it's Shrek or something. You can definitely see the human features in the orc's face, but it looks like the box art to World of Warcraft and all the pictures you see. It's fantastic.
So 2016 for that, which means you're going to see the full trailer next year at BlizzCon.
Probably. That's when we'll get a scene, finally, or something. Yeah.
All right, so what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Loki, you want to help me out with this one? Because this is a Loki-produced episode of OLR.
Oh, God.
So it's Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto.
Just a little bit. Not a ton. Although it is coming out in 2 weeks. I can't wait. No, this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Nintendo. They had, a Nintendo Direct talking about, the Amiibos and some other stuff like that. Ubisoft being, I don't know, Ubisoft and... Activision being Activision, so that kind of stuff.
Game companies being game companies.
They're doing what they do best.
That's right.
Find ways to kind of annoy the consumer.
Well, at least Ubisoft stuff kind of silently came back this morning.
Oh, good.
Activision's not so much yet.
Not so much.
And the excuse was, total PR speak.
Right. So that's all coming up on OLR up next. I'm glad you made it home safely, Rob, and have a good show.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
That's it. So I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. So you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. You can join the Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter at Bobby Blackwolf, or you can contact me on my website. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, VXHNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Act Deft, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Blood Drunk, Buchikawa, Brad from Drunk Culture. He must be having some fireball. Burr, Crispy, De Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, E3VL, Eric K, Eswat, Game Guru, Halo Fanboy Man, that's Break Man, Hitstun, Ikuma JP, Kaijudo, Kenzie Cat, Cousin, Matt Q, Melted General, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Nixon, Orange Wright, Raginator, Sky, Sync Slip, SJ Wonder Matt, The Rob D, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, William Murderface, and Zappy. So that's it for me. I will see you guys next week. And just remember, if there's too many cooks, they may spoil the broth. And don't hide in the closet during the credits. That's kind of stupid.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.